Straw Hut Media.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to You Are Not Alone. I am your host, spiritual medium Erica Gabriel, and I'm so happy you're here hanging out with me today. I'm so excited for this episode because we're going to be talking about all things meditation. I think maybe half of you just changed to a different podcast and half of you ears just perked up because meditation is such an amazing thing. And I know a lot of people are really intimidated by it or skeptical of it, or, you know, it's such a button, right? I just feel like also in the spiritual world and with the spiritual realm, it's like all things lead to meditation, right? It's like you want to feel better, meditate. You want to be more spiritual, meditate. You want to get to know yourself better, meditate. Like it all signs lead to meditation. So I think some people that maybe don't know about meditation or are intimidated by it are just kind of like, ugh, meditation. Do I have to think about that right now? There's like, everyone has a relationship with meditation, whether you do it or not, you know? But for me, you know, I think with meditation, it kind of takes everything that you're searching for and questioning, and it just tells you basically just stop, you know, and to be and to sit with yourself and hold space for yourself in a way, right? The other way I think about meditation, and every time I do it, you know, a huge message from spirit guides and from our angels and so many messages that we've talked about in this podcast, if you guys have been listening to me for a while, is all about this idea of journeying within, and that so much of what you're looking for and what you're seeking is not outside yourself, but in fact, right there sitting inside of you. And quieting the mind helps you hear what is going on within and what awaits you within your own spirit and your own soul. And when I think about meditation, I think that every single time I meditate, it's like a brick on a house. So bear with me. When I say to you guys, like, if you want to get your answers, or if you want to connect with your guides, right? If you want to connect with God, go within. And sometimes at that point, we go within and we're like, I don't know, it's a big old mess in here and it's loud and I've got to-do lists and all kinds of stuff going on, right? And where do I go inside that feels that peaceful place? And I feel like with meditation, when you do that, you are putting a brick on a house that you can go into anytime, anytime you want to feel that connection to God, to yourself, to spirit, or to possibly the answers that you're seeking. I would recommend when you meditate, meditating without attachment to outcome and just allowing yourself to be. But I do feel like as I have built my house now, even if I'm just in a stressful moment, I can close my eyes and enter that house. It's my safe house inside. And you build it through quieting the mind and through meditation. Are you guys still with me? and so today, what's so cool is I have a lovely, amazing spirit with me whose name is Aaron Robinson, and he is a meditation coach. He is hosting 365 days of meditation on Facebook. How amazing is that? He also has a whole library of live pre-recorded meditations. And he also is a self-proclaimed creative spirit guide, which I love. That's a title he gave himself. I'm like, that's awesome. And he also is a podcast host, and he hosts his podcast called Opening Presence. And I wanted to have him on today so he could share with us his journey about meditation, about becoming a meditation coach, about how he felt before he meditated, and then as he's gone deeper into this incredible journey of meditation. And I hope that you guys hear something today that sparks something in you that possibly draws you to do this type of spiritual work or meditation. Again, you know, I think meditation can sound super intimidating, but as I said, you know, there's all kinds of meditation. I think there's writing meditation, walking meditation, still meditation. And there's ways that you can build that house so that you could, you know, meditate for 2 minutes and feel that connection. It doesn't always have to be sitting still for hours on end, right? There can be all kinds of ways, but you got to kind of put the work in, I think, at the beginning, so you know what it feels like and connect. But without further ado, welcome, Aaron. Thank you for being here.
Wow. That was an amazing monologue. You are a true professional.
Thank you so much. I love that you just said that because I don't plan what I'm going to say. You know, I just kind of let out. It flow.
Yeah. That's spirit.
Thank you for that compliment. I'm like, oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Right. I'm so glad you weren't like, wow, you talked for a really long time.
You were feeling it. It was so succinct. I was actually meditating while you were talking because this is the first time I've done a virtual, like digital, like recorded podcast. So it's kind of new. And just listening to you speak, I could sense the anticipation on my end. Like my heart was beating. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to take your advice on meditation. And focus on my breath and just kind of settle into this experience. So yeah, thank you for prompting that and for having me.
Oh my gosh, you're welcome. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you're here. And I love how we met. And like something that people that listen to my podcast know is like, anyone who I have on my show, you know, a lot of people will get kind of sent to me or maybe introduced or I'll see different things. It's like anyone who I've had on, it's almost like I'll see them in like a special light, and I know they're meant to come on the show. Like, not to sound like too deep on how I choose, but that is it. Like, you know, it'll just be like I'll just see a light around someone. I'm like, oh yes, okay, yeah. I have people that really need to hear a message from them, you know. And so when we got introduced, I was like, oh yes.
Yeah, I felt the exact same thing. Like I checked your Instagram and just listened to a couple of your videos and. Yeah, I was like sold right away. I'm learning like through this process of like creative self-realization. It's like that instinct of doubt that we're kind of like born with, and each of us has its own voice and tenor with that doubt. Like I've slowly over time been able to kind of like override that with this like inner coherence. Like when you just know, you know, and you just don't try to, I guess, sabotage experiences, you know?
Totally. I love that. A friend of mine, and she listens to this. So this is for you, Sarah. She always tells me, don't overthink it. And it's so simple, you know, it's such a simple way to put things, but like sometimes that really does help me. So like, if I have that vibration, that feeling, it's like, trust it. Don't think it to death, basically, you know, yeah. Don't like kick the crap out of it by overthinking it. Right. Trust.
Most definitely. It takes time, but I think those simple sayings mean different things. Like the layers are so deep, like as we move through life, like a simple saying, like don't overthink it, means something when you're like 17, but like when you're 37, like it's a completely different connection to the saying.
Exactly. Yes, I'm so with that. So how did you come to meditation? Like how did this all start? Where were you before you came to meditation?
Okay, so I grew up in San Diego, California, and after I graduated college, I took my first yoga class when I was around 25 working at the YMCA, and that was like my first entry to kind of just like the body, the breath, and I stumbled on this book called Eastern Body, Western Mind by Judith Anodea. I may be butchering her name. But it's a very, very powerful book, just going through all the chakras. And it spoke in a language that I had not had any experience in, but I knew in my heart, like, this is the truth. Like, this is, like, these energy centers, these developmental time frames, and like, it was the truth. And the truth is, like, the most resonant frequency. Like, when you see it, you don't need to have, like, a prerequisite of knowledge on truth. Like when you hear it, you just follow. So that kind of like the yoga classes and then that book allowed me to get a little bit more curious on what my internal experience was. So that's kind of where the curiosity of meditation came. And similar to, I'm sure, a lot of people, like my relationship early on with meditation was, oh yeah, I do it, but I just can't quiet the mind. And I'm just done, essentially. Like, I'll do it once every like couple of months or something, but the seeking for these big transcendent like waves of experience or something to hold on to kind of colored those initial experiences.
You're like, so I just sit here. This is it. Yeah, no, my mind races. That is, a lot of people say that. They're like, oh, my mind is too busy for meditation. And I'm like, no, but that's why you need what? No, that's the whole point.
insert classic excuse here. So I was just like everybody else with that same thing. And I had moved to Portland and brought my meditation practice, or my fledgling meditation practice, with me. But the one thing that like really, really got me into it, unfortunately, like it was a very traumatic experience of my mother getting stage 4 breast cancer and just watching this whole process of me and my brother losing our mother to breast cancer. And it was just one of those things where it brings you all the way to ground floor. And you have to pick yourself back up. And I was coming up on the year of her passing or her transition. And I took a inventory of my life and I was like, I'm not happy. Like, I need to make a real change in my little experience with meditation. I knew that like once I had experienced the truth, it's like I need to face exactly, I want to put all the contents of my experience on the table and work with it rather than using alcohol or relationships or attachments to whatever to be more real. So I decided like I'm gonna do this thing every single day, every single morning or evening, and hold myself to it, not really tell anybody, but just that curious sense of curiosity of like, can I have a different experience? Does it have to be this mild dissatisfaction with everything in my life, or is there another way? And I decided to find that way within.
I am so sorry you lost your mom, and the fact that this is what you went to is just so beautiful to me. Like you said, you didn't go to, you know, just drinking your feelings away or like, you know, a relationship to distract, you know. You were like, I don't want to just delve into like just fall into deep depression and almost like numbness.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to get to the heart of the matter.
Truth. That was definitely a part of it too, though. Like that,
that's
like
brave. Oh, no. I'm totally with you. No, you were saying, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
I want to actually feel like true peace or true connection.
Yeah. Yeah. And through that, like so much has like been uncovered of just like what I thought I was, like the program that was kind of like divvied onto me just environmentally, just the people that I grew up with and the ideas that I was exposed to and the kind of like limiting beliefs, honestly, that I've had for a long, long time. And it's engaging with that process of shining a light on the things that are a lot of the times automatically running systems or dormant to our awareness is something I'm still engaging with today. But to start that process, like you never stop learning. And that's something that inspires me today to continue with the practice and to share it with people, is because it's something worthwhile. It's like, it doesn't get boring at all. It's like, we just, we see our challenges and we go right into them.
Do you feel like when you, sometimes when I think of meditation, like, have you ever seen like a little kid, like throwing a temper tantrum and they're like throwing a total temper tantrum, and it's almost like if you ignore them, sometimes it gets worse. But if you just go to them and you just say like, I'm here, and just hold space for them, then they'll start to kind of calm down.
Yes. Okay. So it's not specifically a temper tantrum, but when my dog is in the room, he has this very really I want to say my dog is not obnoxious, but his like licking himself like annoys me so much. And I'll just start my meditation and he'll start licking himself like right next to me. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is like the worst sounding thing in the world. But I do know what you mean by closing the distance between you and the thing that's taking you out of it and well, observing, also observing like your, it.
Right. Or also your own pain or your own problems.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes our what's going on inside of us, we think is just this dark, just horrible stuff. And sometimes if we just look at it and hold space for it, it's not, it starts to dissipate.
Definitely.
You know what I mean? So like the temper tantrum is like maybe some old pain we have or some old beliefs of ourselves or, and if we just sit with it and hold space for it, it's almost like it starts to dissipate. We give it space to heal instead of just like, no, you're messed up. Mm-mm, shove it down. Quiet, shove it down. Don't pay attention to it. Keep busy. Mm-hmm. To-do lists. Let's go. Also, that's so funny about your dog. So if your dog is licking like that, that your dog may have anxiety. You know, when they lick like that, they're getting anxious. So maybe your meditation, that your dog is like, you think I'm annoying. You sitting meditating is annoying me. Take me out to play.
Yeah, it's quite possible. But going back to what you are saying, like closing the distance and getting curious about like the pains in our bodies and the healing, I think the wisdom of impermanence, I know that's like widely used in meditative circles, but like it is so true. It's like everything is changing in our experience. Like that's one thing that we cannot change is that conditions change, sensations change, like being curious and just observing as a witness to the ever-changing nature of this phenomena that we call life is the thing that kind of gives, when you see like yogis or people that are like moving through life, not being reactionary, it's when we embody that wisdom of knowing that like, I have little to no control of like the external world, but I do have a say on what's happening on the inside. And once we kind of like take ownership of how we're feeling, what we're feeling, and understanding that everything is always changing and all I can do is operate in a place of awareness and kind of decode the string of events that may have led to an anxiety attack, a panic attack, or anger, I think tracing back to the root causes of these things operating in awareness allows us to create context for the experiences that we're having from moment to moment.
And you feel that meditation does that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because when we're sitting, it's like we're constantly like paying attention to what's happening right now in this present moment and learning to create, I guess, context or at least dialogue or understanding of what's happening right now without placing like this judgment. This is why we like sit in silence, is just so we can observe and watch it pass, observe, watch it pass. Even if our mind goes somewhere, like when is the point that we catch ourselves and say, oh, I need to get back to my breath. I need to get to my one pointed focus. So this like level of vigilance of the mind and our attention kind of permeates off of the cushion into life. When something may trigger us, it's like you're meditating when you catch yourself in any situation, when you're aware of the present moment, you get away, you come back, like that whole process, that mechanic is a meditation. Mm.
Right. Keep returning to the present moment.
Mm-hmm. And
return,
that's it.
To the present. Yep.
Just returning.
Totally. Taking it back to the present moment, present moment, present moment. And just in that and being present can be so utterly healing. I want to take a quick break. And then I'm hoping that you can speak to people that maybe have never, ever tried meditation before. And maybe you can give us some tools on how to start a meditation practice, what to expect. All of that. How does that sound?
That sounds amazing.
Okay, cool. And then hoping later, maybe you'll do like a little mini meditation for us and kind of get us on that path. But you guys, we're going to take a quick break. I'm with Aaron Robinson, excuse me, and we will be right back here on You Are Not Alone. We are back here on You Are Not Alone with Aaron Robinson, and we're talking all things meditation and his path and journey to meditation, and hoping that he can help. You know, I know just from reading your guys's like DMs and messages and emails, you know, there are people at all different various places on their spiritual journey that listen to this show. And I love that. You know, it's so, so cool because we're just all in this together and we're all jumping in at different points. But I know there's a lot of you that, you know, are really looking for a way to connect spiritually. And, you know, sometimes I'll get messages where people are like, tell me, you know, who my spirit guides are and how to connect with them. And it's like, before you do that, connect with yourself and all will be revealed. You know, it's like an annoying answer, actually. You know, people are like, can't you just tell me? And the idea is connect with self and so much will be revealed. And that, you know, when you connect with yourself and create that space, you create a doorway for your guides to come in. You create a doorway for divine connection, inspiration, and spirituality to come in. So, I mean, you know, listen, everyone has to do what resonates with them and what feels right for them. But I think taking up a meditation practice is a incredible and important way to start, enhance, or continue your spiritual path. So I'm hoping Aaron will connect, you know, with you all right now and really tell you some tools and tips and how to get started. And also how to not be annoyed with yourself because your mind will race and go crazy like a little monkey. So what do you think, Aaron? How should they start?
Yeah. So I think with a meditation practice or anything, I've kind of like developed kind of like these pillars of practice, because that's kind of the area that I specialize in, is kind of decoding the beginning phases of a meditation practice. Granted that I'm not like some mystic that's been meditating for 40 years or 50 years. Like, I'm still relatively new to my own practice, and I feel like that's a place that's kind of missing in this day and age, is people illuminating the path from the very beginning. So I've kind of broken it down into the pillars of practice, kind of like a 5-day thing to contemplate. And the first thing is motivation. It's like we're motivated by many, many things, but I found within my own practice, I was motivated by, like, it was kind of like a dual thing where it was like the trauma initiated, but then there became a curiosity, like trauma, curiosity of, like I said before, like, can I have a different experience? And luckily, like in my first week of consistent meditation, I had a different experience. I felt like this weight vest that I was wearing was suddenly like taken off of me. And I felt my own vibration for the first time. It was like, this is different. It doesn't feel like I'm like suffocating. Like, there was finally a level of openness that I had yet to experience. So that was the aha moment that allowed me to have to, from experience. This is all from experience. I think a lot of the times we address meditation as this analytical, like Western thing where we try to we're so heady about everything, but once we have an experience that's different than the one that we're having, we can get into being inspired to keep pulling on that thread to see what else is there. So, motivation number one. So, trauma, curiosity leading to inspiration, or having a general dissatisfaction with how we're living. So, what motivates us? So that's one place to start to get into our practice. The second thing is create your own rituals or own your style and uniqueness with meditation. I touched a little bit before, is like we have very few examples as to what meditation is, what it looks like, and we feel like we have to copy these Buddhist traditions and all of these spiritual wisdom, but that's not the case. It's like you can still be interested in Versace and have a meditation practice. You can be a Pokemon. You could be a Pokemon card collector and have Pikachu on your altar, or wear like a unicorn onesie in your meditation. You can customize it to exactly how you like it, and that's something that I want to inspire people to do, because if you see me, it's not, you don't look at me and say like, oh yeah, he's definitely a meditator. I've kind of accepted the things that make me unique, and I add them to my practice, and I add them to my space and curating, and all the things that make me, I don't have to let go of just because I'm meditating, you know.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So creating,
I love that so much. That resonates with me deeply, because like, as like a spiritual medium, and people know that listen to this show and follow me and stuff, is like, I'm unapologetically me. You know, I I'm not trying to be anything more than that, really, you know, and, you know, the idea that the guru is in you, you know, this is the whole thing. So it's like, if for you, it's a unicorn onesie, then that's it. That's mm-hmm. what it should be. Right. Cause you're your own, you know, your own authority, your own guru, your own master. Right. And that's the whole point of meditating, is like finding that master within you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. Letting your authenticity just speak through. So creating your own rituals. So like creating your own spaces, like your special space in your home that you light your incense. Another part of that I've been experimenting with as far as creating my own rituals, like ways to get into practice, like stretching or exercise. Like, what are the ways that kind of prime us for our meditation? So whether that's the time of day, whether that's I like doing the dishes and cleaning the house before I sit, because it's like it's kind of like a gestural metaphor for what I'm going to be doing in my meditation, is like cleaning these dishes, cleaning these thoughts, cleaning this internal process, and being mindful of what I'm doing. So cleaning the dishes, cleaning the house, sweeping and stuff, lighting an incense and some candles definitely preps me and primes me for each and every meditation, or it's just like an access point. So that's a huge part. And then the third thing is find your teachers. There's the Buddhist path, but it's like, it doesn't have to be that one thing. There's so much information out there. One of the people that I look up to is Dr. Joe Dispenza. And I, after reading the book, Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself, and seeing the scientific science side of meditation and what it does for us, like completely like contextualized, like what was happening as somebody who's like interested in all those healthy health type of things and what's happening with the body. So like finding your teachers is extremely, extremely important. Like audiobooks. I have a list of audiobooks that I revisit. There's a audiobook called Manifest Now. I listen to a lot of Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, Stephen Kotler. Like, there's so many resources out there, and we need to kind of feed ourselves premium fuel for this journey of meditation and locking in a daily practice, because the knowledge is all there outside of us and inside of us, and mm-hmm. we need to hold both of those tandem, because it can kind of be like I don't want to say like lonely, but it's like you kind of need like that added support and inspiration to kind of refuel us along the way. And teachers, I mean people that also, like, there's the people that inspire you, but then there's also the people that may get on your nerves when you're on the freeway. Those are teachers as well. And framing that in your own lives, like I know what my triggers are. If I see a big pickup truck while I'm driving, and there's a old space where there's a sticker on the back of it, and I can kind of intuit what sticker that was, I my judgment meter definitely goes off, and I have to check myself. So those people, like, there's people out in the world that may frustrate you, but when you're engaging with yourself and being aware of your emotions, your breath, how you're showing up to life, everything becomes a teacher, and everyone does.
Do you ever listen to Michael Beckwith?
Yes, for sure.
that's who I listen to, because you're mentioning a lot of people that I listen to. And I was like, I wonder if he ever listens to Michael Beckwith.
Yep.
He does a beautiful guided meditation before every one of his services as well that I love to do.
Yeah.
That I'll do like on, you know, live stream or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
He has great, great things to say. I tend to revisit things because they tend to mean something different, like on this path of just like opening up and ascending. It's like maybe 3 years ago, like the same like little bit of knowledge means something completely different with the new experiences that align with the wisdom that these teachers are sharing us. So I've had a lot of those experiences over the years with these teachers.
That I could not agree more.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
You're getting taught again from the same exact knowledge. And it's like, oh
my gosh.
Whoa.
Yes, exactly. It's so funny because Michael Beckwith comes up a lot. And like, I'll tell people, I'm like, listen to him and then listen to him again. And then listen again, and then wait a year, and then listen to him again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's
like,
so deep.
You know, but also because things are activated within us, and we need time to kind of catch up to that and align with it. And then we're like, oh, okay. You know, and that can take time.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. You were talking about kind of like, we need to analytically understand meditation, and sometimes you just have to feel it. And what came up, and I wanted to share this story with you. Excuse me for one sec. Excuse me. What kind of came up really was the word surrender in a lot of ways. And then also, you know, when this was like maybe I was 20 years old or something like that, when I first started learning Reiki, which is energetic, you know, healing, hands-on healing. And I didn't know much about energy. And I remember saying to my Reiki master, but what is it? What is Reiki? And she was like, Reiki is an energy and an energetic vibrational field. And I'm like, no. But like, what is it? Like, I wanted to touch it and feel it and taste it. And I just couldn't let it go. And I couldn't let my mind go. And then we did in this session learning Reiki, because I was learning Reiki 1. We did this thing where we took turns giving each other Reiki, and it was my turn, and I laid down and I had like 5 people do Reiki on me. And it was almost like a water main broke or a dam broke, and I just felt Reiki.
Mm.
And after I felt it, there was absolutely no way I could explain it. You know what I mean? And I got why she couldn't explain it to me. I just felt it. It was totally something I couldn't explain. It was a feeling. And then I laughed for about a half hour, like laughing, laughing. And then I cried for about an hour. It's a surrendering. And I love that you brought that up, that sometimes you just have to feel and just, you know, just hold space and live in that surrender. And then you can read all the books and understand the physiological mechanisms of why, you know, meditation's amazing for the brain and the body and, you know, physiologically. And that's all great too. But there is a feeling here.
Yeah.
That happens, right?
Definitely. And I think that like carries into our lives when we become like the masters of our own experience, or at least prioritizing our experience over what the outside world is telling us. Like nobody can tell me how I'm feeling inside of my body. So I'm going to trust everything that I do feel and the messages that I get and the sensations that I feel and my intuition. When we orient ourselves in our practice in silence every single day and become kind of fluent in our own energy system, our own cognition, our own everything, whenever there's like a contrary signal or information outside of us that we tend to have, at least in a former life, like we kind of just like bow down to it and be like, oh yeah, you're right. Like I experienced that growing up where even if it's like somebody thinks that like we're looking for direction, excuse me, we're looking for direction somewhere and I know where we're going and I say like, oh, it's this way. And then I get overruled by everybody else in the car and they're like, no, we're going this way. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you guys are right. Even though in my heart, in my bones, I know that I'm right, Like that negotiating, like I don't, that just doesn't happen anymore. It's like, I trust my intuition, whatever comes up for me, I can go in all in on that. And I don't feel like I have to sabotage myself, or at least that habit of self-sabotage is completely, I would say, like, diminished when we commit to practice every single day. And wow. I guess we'll move to the next thing. It's community. Most of our practice is alone. Frankly, it's like it's a lot of time spent alone, and a lot of I would say like 90% of it is probably like self-actualized and initiated. And there's a point where we start to seek and look out for people that are also on the path. And I kind of like, that's how like my whole thing started, was just sharing my practice on Instagram. I just went live, and I was a beginner meditator and still am a beginner meditator, but it began with just sharing like, hey, like this, here's this practice that I found. It doesn't have to look a certain way. I'm going to show you how mine looks. And just welcoming people and providing a space to allow them to start decoding what their practice may look like was how I began to start creating a community. And since growing into a Facebook group called 365 Days of Meditation, where everybody is committed to meditating every single day of the year. And granted, it's like, it's not my duty to hold anybody to it, but to create a space where we can start sharing, basically have this conversation that we're having right now, but with up to like 40 or 50 people, however one chooses to engage with the platform, it's very, really important for us to be able to share these stories of opening and the sensations, and like saying like, oh, like, has this ever come up for you? And we can kind of guide each other along this path, so it doesn't have to feel like we're all alone.
That's beautiful. That's amazing. And you know, it's interesting when you say community as well, is like, you know, your vibration is attracting your people, you know? Yes. So, and I love that.
How do you think we got here?
How like, do you this, think we met?
Yeah, yeah, this like is no accident.
your vibe attracts your tribe, you know? Yeah. Like, that's it, sure. You know, and like your tribe may look completely different than what you may have thought it was going to look like, you know, mm-hmm. like you may, it's like, listen, you may, you know, your best friend might become, you know, a 90-year-old person that you're connecting with on the heart level, you know, it's like, you just don't totally. Know. It's like, you have to be open to that. I love that community is number four. That's awesome.
Yeah. And the last thing, it's just the commitment, like nobody's going to do it for you at the end of the day. It's like, Americans, like, we are so used to having shortcuts for everything. Like, everything that's on TV is a shortcut, is a pill, instant gratification. But this is where you have to look in the mirror and kind of go back on the last steps. It's like, what's the motivation? Like, what was the trauma? Where's the curiosity? Where's the inspiration? Going back to your rituals, like, going back to your teachers, going back to your community. And that's kind of like the space where we reinvest in the journey, because it's like everything's in steps and we have these openings. And I have to spice up my practice all the time, whether that's using like new guided meditations from Insight Timer, really cool app, or if that's changing where I meditate, whether that's outside or like kind of creating like a ceremonious like ritual or something, like going out into nature. So the last thing is just like making that commitment to yourself and kind of decoding how you get into your practice at any point, and being open and willing to restart, because that's all it is just restarting. Like in your meditation, you get away from the breath, you get away in thoughts, and then you come back. And in the same thing, looking at your practice as a whole, you get away from it, you come back, no judgment. You don't have to pay like a re-entry fee or anything like that. Like, you still have your wristband, you can get in the club. But it's just always coming back and knowing that it's always available for you. So it's for a lifetime too. It's like, this is real. This is engaging at the deepest level with our experience.
That's amazing. And like, I feel, you know, sometimes people like will say like, oh yeah, no, I need to get back to that. I feel so bad. I got to do this. I should do this. I should do that. And it becomes like this super negative thing. You know what I mean? Like people are just shooting all over themselves. You know what I mean? Like should. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like sometimes meditation can become that for people, you know? So I love that this, the commitment maybe is going, like you said, going back to your motivation, like, you know, don't make this a guilt thing or a negative, you know, make it like a thing, like a gift to yourself.
Yeah,
in a
definitely.
Way. How long would you recommend people starting to meditate? Like I tell people sometimes, like, just sit down on your floor and sit comfortably and just take 10 deep breaths. And then after your 10 deep breaths are over, then go on with your day. Just start there. You know, what would you say, my friend, like about that? Like,
yeah.
How would you recommend that just initial, you know, meditation?
Yeah, I'm kind of like just push people off the ledge, like set your timer for 5 to 10 minutes and go. Like, I think
just start.
Just do it. Yeah. Like set your timer for 10 minutes and just sit with yourself for 10 minutes. Yeah, it's funny because it's like if you give people an option to do less, they'll do less. But it's like if you just say like here are the parameters of it, and then they do it, and then it's like, oh, this is what it requires. This is what it takes.
And I'm definitely the do less person. It's really bad.
I think all of us have that in them. But like at least like when I'm doing like a one-on-one with somebody, or if I'm doing a group meditation, like. Even if it's somebody that's done it for like it's their first time, like I will do a 20-minute meditation with somebody that's done it just once. Like I something in me is just like I can sense when people are really, really like wanting to experience different and then wanting a challenge at the same time. And I think kind of just like this is touching on like overall, it's like a lot of people are averse to starting a practice is because it's the biggest like commitment or challenge or fear of their whole entire life. It's like, oh, what would it be like to really know myself? Oh, I'm a little bit scared. And I think I can put this off for another 6 months because I'm afraid of what I'm going to find, you know? So yeah.
Yeah. I love that you said that. Sometimes you just need to push through, put that 20 minutes on your timer and just sit and breathe and just see what happens. Just start.
Yeah, just see what happens.
I think that's beautiful. Okay, so I wrote it down. Motivation, create your own rituals, find your teachers, find your community, and then number 5, find your commitment.
Mm-hmm. Or just accountability, yeah.
Accountability. Yeah, I need to work that's my should all over myself. Accountability.
Yeah. And that's what I just hope to bring to like the community or just anybody who's interested is like I'm like through this journey of holding myself accountable to practice, I'm creating spaces to hold other people or allow creating spaces for other people to hold themselves accountable through these different channels of contact.
Right, because when you hold yourself accountable, you begin to build your trust for yourself, which is also part of that whole thing that we're talking about that sacred space within you. And also what you're saying about, you know, not second guessing yourself. It's that trusting yourself. I feel safe because I have me. I feel grounded because I know myself. I know I have that sacred space within me. I can go to it anytime. And I've committed to this beautiful practice and I've held myself accountable. I trust myself. I am strong. I believe in myself. Yeah. I know who I am. I know who I am.
Yeah, that's such a journey.
Oh,
wow.
Oh. Oh.
I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, like there's so many different like checkpoints. And it's just like I feel like I've just came on to like new checkpoints within like the last like 3 weeks. I was like, oh, I never experienced this before. Okay, let's keep on going.
Yeah, totally. And therein lies the beauty, I think, like of being an evolving, growing spirit, right? And human. Mm. It's like we never stop growing. And we can have those mantras like, I trust myself, I know myself. And that can be contested on a daily basis sometimes, you know? And that's like, but that's part of the journey. And if you can hold that space, if you can hold that space for yourself, not give up on yourself and just not throw yourself away, hold that space.
Yeah.
You know, you can get to some amazing places, right?
Yeah. I love how you said not throwing yourself away because that's like definitely like my my MO is just throwing myself away as far as ideas and worthiness. It's just like, oh no, somebody else has the idea. Like somebody else, it's somebody else is supposed to be doing it, not me. Mm. And just being a witness and being a, like a full on participant in my own life has given me the most, and not checking out and making these incremental life transitions, like letting go of things that aren't serving me. And that's what makes it fun, is that we get to kind of decode our programming and kind of rewrite our software, and do it in a way that's hands-on, straight to the point.
I feel like part of your mantra right now, just from what you were saying, is if not me, then who?
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
That's you. That's yeah. you, Aaron.
I know.
And you're like, wait a minute. I'm the one yeah. that's going to bring this community forward. Hold on. If not me, then who? No, it's me. You know?
Yeah.
It's you. It's you, Aaron. And I love that you came on this show, and like, you know, you have such an open heart, and the fact that everything that you went through and everything that you're working on, and your first, you know, you found something amazing, and then the first thing you wanted to do was share it. That's who you are. And that's so beautiful to me.
Wow. Thank you for seeing that and saying that.
Totally. Thank you for sharing that with everyone listening today. So is there anything else you want people to know? I want everyone to join your Facebook group and follow you on Instagram. I was looking at your Instagram, and you have a whole library here of meditations, and that is so, so spectacular and such a gift, you know?
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you want everyone to know before we tell everyone how to follow you and get with your program, basically?
Yeah, I guess just the programs. Like I think right now, like as like a creative, like entrepreneur, like stepping into that space and building out like my offerings to the world, like I'm definitely going to be offering like one-on-one consultations, various group meditations, whether that's like with businesses or like specific teams, or getting in touch with HR departments and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of like intimate one-on-one, like let's do this all together type of offerings. But everyone can find me on like Instagram at Aaron Robinson, AaronRobinson. My podcast, which is like my passion project. Mm-hmm. I know we talked a little bit about podcasting a little bit earlier, but Opening Presence with Aaron Robinson, available on all platforms streaming. Presence is with a C though.
I mean, I could listen to you talk all day, so I think everyone is going to start listening to your podcast.
I hope so.
Listening to you talk. I'm like, oh my God. No, it's just, it's peaceful, and you're so engaging. And, you know, I think there's just so much more to come even with you. And I hope, I'm like, as you're talking, I'm like, maybe we could do a podcast where like you do, you know, I know we had talked about it a little bit, but maybe you do like a guided meditation for everyone listening on my show, you know, and
yeah,
that people
totally.
Can then revisit and go back to whenever they want. But I think this is awesome. You guys, I hope everyone listens to Aaron's podcast, follows him on Facebook and on Instagram, and stays in touch with him. Aaron, you're awesome. I'm so happy you came on.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, Erica. I really had a good time. This is so cool.
Oh my God, I had the best time with you. Can we please stay in touch for sure?
Yes, yes, yes.
Awesome. I want in on your meditation group, but it's like,
oh,
you know,
please do.
Yeah, it's so funny too, because even I'm like, oh, I want to do the 365 days of meditation. And then you know where I get pinged? On what? Number five starts pinging me.
Number five,
commitment.
Ah, well, just join. Look, no, like this is for you and anybody listening. Just find me on Instagram, send me your email address, and I'll add you to the group, and you can engage with it how you will. Like your start date is obviously going to be a different day, but that's where we share resources. That's where we share experiences. Come on down.
I love it. I want to do it. And I think that's amazing. And I'm going to send you my email address.
Thank you. I look forward to it.
Oh my gosh, you guys. So please follow Aaron. You guys, I am so happy that you got to hear these messages today and this incredible story and journey and offering from Aaron. I'm so happy he came on. You know, it's been such a pleasure just doing this podcast and being able to bring forward these amazing, special people that really have a message for you. You know, some, I get a lot of messages where people are like, this person really spoke to me, or that person really spoke to me. And I know that hearing Aaron today is really, really resonating with so many of you. And I'm so happy you could hear him and his words and his experience. And truly, guys, if you take nothing away from today, as I always say, I want you to know deep in your own soul, your own spirit, your own heart, you are never, ever alone, because your angels, your spirit guides, your loved ones who've crossed over into the other side, they are right there with you. People always tell me, Erica, tell my so-and-so that I say hi, right? Someone that they've lost. And I'm like, you just did. They're with you, not me. You are truly never alone. You have an entire team in spirit that's loving you, honoring you, supporting you. And in fact, the entire universe is conspiring in your favor. You just have to decide what vibration, what channel you're going to kind of tune into, and know that the universe will work with you, work for you, not against you. You are so loved. You are surrounded by light, and you are never, ever alone. I love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in today, and I hope you have a beautiful day. Take care.